Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Boston Mayor Michelle Wu is calling on the state to provide 1,000 supportive housing units outside the city of Boston after relocating about 20 tents last week in the area around Massachusetts Avenue and Melnia Cass Boulevard. From the newsroom, WBUR reporter Deborah Becker spent the day in the area yesterday and joins us now with an update. Deb, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So just take us straight there, Deb. What did you see yesterday?
Well, there were dozens of people congregating still on Atkinson Street, which is just off Southampton Street. Atkinson is closed to traffic. It's cordoned off on either end with two Boston police vehicles. So the people who were there were under tarps in the misty rain yesterday, many obviously intoxicated, many openly using drugs, some nodding off. I saw people selling drugs. There was quite a bit of trash and needles. And one person I spoke with said he stays there because he has no place else to go. There were also many outreach workers from the city, various nonprofits, walking around and helping folks, talking to folks, checking in on folks, and trying to connect them with services or housing.
And I should note the tents were relocated from Southampton Street to Atkinson Street, correct?
Last week, that's right. Last week, the city moved the tents from busy Southampton Street because of traffic concerns.
So you've followed the story for a long time, Deb. We've talked to you about it a number of times. Did anything feel really different to you yesterday?
Well, it still feels very sad. You know, Tiziana, I mean, some people just seem to be taken over by their addiction and mental health issues. And people are using these tarps after the city said that tents could no longer be there. So many folks now have their belongings in wheeled suitcases or shopping carts, and they just carry them from one sidewalk to another while repeated street cleanings take place. So the big thing is there is a lot more cleaning going on, and there are a lot more outreach workers there, but there are still really desperate people.
We had a fairly deep conversation with Mayor Michelle Wu on this yesterday, Deb, and she argued that things were better now than they were this time last year. Would you agree based on what you've seen?
Well, there are fewer people there, that's certain. There were hundreds of people last year, so there aren't hundreds. But there are dozens, and the weather's getting colder. You know, I spoke with Tim Galligan. He's 44 years old. He's been living in housing provided by the city since Mayor Wu cleared all the tents from that area in January. And he said he was living on the streets at Mass and Cass for about 7 months before he got housing. And he says that stability with housing has really helped him recover from his drug use. Let's listen.
I've got a lot more structure since I've been in there. My anxiety's gone down too. I can kind of relax. You know, I can kind of take a deep breath. I don't have to really worry as much.
Has it helped you with recovery? Assuming
yeah,
it's recovery, from substance use?
Yes, I used for a while. Yeah. Of course, I had a bad back, so that's why I made every excuse in the world.
And Galligan is expected to get permanent housing soon. He has a job. He's working with the city to help clean up the area in the Mass and Cass neighborhood.
In our latest from the newsroom, we're speaking with WBUR's Deborah Becker, who spent time yesterday in the Mass and Cass neighborhood. Deb, it feels like things are simmering over, bubbling over again. Is that right?
I would say that it tensions have increased. People are wondering why there wasn't sort of a sudden clearing of the streets and everyone was helped, which, you know, you can argue whether that's realistic, but they would have expected that not so many people would still be congregating here 10 months later. Neighbors, business owners in the area, they've been complaining about trash, about needles, vandalism, threats. And I spoke with Boston City Councilor Frank Baker yesterday, and he said the city needs to do more. He thinks too much money is being spent, and yet there are still many people on the streets. Here he is.
If we don't make drastic changes, we're going to be talking about this situation only in terms of how much worse it is and how much more it's costing us.
Without a robust program, someplace that we can keep people for 60 to 90 days, then we're going to continue on this path. Long-term hospice is what we're doing.
And Counselor Baker is advocating strengthening ways to commit people to involuntary mental health and addiction treatment. So he is hoping that the city and city councilors who agree with him will take steps toward that end. I also spoke with Sue Sullivan. She's executive director of the New Market Business Association. That group represents businesses in the Mass and Cass area. And she said more needs to be done to stop the open drug use that's going on.
Well, we shouldn't just be allowing people to do whatever they want on the street. Business owners are tired. They're tired of having to call 911 or call security all the time because someone is disrupting their business.
And Sullivan did say she's arranging a meeting between the city and local business owners.
Did you speak directly with any owners?
I did. And I think their perspective really depends on where they are. If they're located near where these tents are concentrated or encampments are concentrated, they obviously don't think it's getting better there. But if they are located further away from there and the tents that had been there are cleared, they probably think it's okay. I met with Jerry DePiro. He owns DePiro Construction, and that's right at the intersection of Massachusetts Avenue and Melnia Cass Boulevard. And here is some of our conversation yesterday. As we stood at the door of his business, he found the door shattered when he got to work yesterday. He says it's been shattered. That door has been shattered dozens of times over the past year. His building's been vandalized. And, you know, he thinks that something needs to change for the situation to improve. I asked him if he's talked with the city about this or had a meeting.
I'd love for that to happen. Not like she's not doing her job. He's not doing, not that. Let's, you know, these are what we have for suggestions on what should be done. Are they doable? What does the city have for a property where, you know, it's feasible to open up an addiction center? And they're going to be able to stay there. You know, whether the courts turn around and say, okay, you're mandated there for 90 days. They need some place. They can't be here. They walk out the door and they got drugs right outside the door.
And DePiro believes that the situation is worse now than it was a year ago, and he thinks it's less safe.
So let's shift to solutions, Deb. The city has said, you know, housing is key. Since January, Boston has built 200 units of what's called low-threshold housing with this Housing First model. Mayor Wu said that's been working, so much so that, as you heard me say at the top, she's calling on the state to build 1,000 more units of this kind, but outside the city. I understand, though, another proposal has resurfaced. It was floated last year. It's closer to home, and it involves housing people at the Suffolk County Jail. Tell us about that.
Right. I spoke with Suffolk County Sheriff Steve Tompkins about this, and he told me that some officials from the Wu administration recently toured the Nashua Street Jail as a potential place to house people from Mass and Cass. Here's what he said.
Some of the mayor's folk did visit with us month and a half ago, maybe. They looked at Nashua Street, that facility there, and we haven't heard much from them since. So it really comes down to what the city wants to do and the discussions that they want to have. I understand there's urgency because the winter is coming back around, so we'll entertain the discussions.
And Tompkins says he could hold up to 100 people at the Nashua Street facility, and these would be people who are already involved in the criminal legal system. They would have to be sent there by the courts, he said. Very similar to the plan that he floated last year. Before Mayor Wu took office, we should say, the plan was heavily criticized and abandoned. And we should also say that the mayor's office has not commented on this visit to Sheriff Tompkins' jail.
So just quickly, Deb, we spoke with Sheriff Tompkins about this when the proposal was floated last year. Yeah, you know, yes, a lot of pushback. So what is different? Is there could something really happen this time?
I'm not sure how it might be structured differently. There aren't a lot of specifics to this plan, but obviously the courts would have to be involved. You're talking about a building that's overseen by a county sheriff. It's a jail building. And it's kind of surprising that this would be something the Wu administration would even consider because she was critical of the plan last year. I spoke with Northeastern University Professor Leo Beletsky about this, and he said it's disturbing. Let's listen.
Time and time again, whenever the criminal legal system has gotten involved in addressing the situation in Mass and Cass, it's been an unmitigated disaster. Massachusetts already has one of the most highly utilized involuntary commitment systems in the entire country. And those people, by and large, are worse off when they come out than when they went in.
So I think, again, this idea would be very controversial and may not go forward. And in the city, we should repeatedly point out, has not explained why it appears to be revisiting this idea.
All right, Deb Becker, stand by. State Senator Nick Collins is on the line with us. He represents the 1st Suffolk District, which includes this area known as Mass and Cass. Senator Collins, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Senator,
good morning.
Senator, what's your reaction to the resurfacing of the proposal for using a jail facility as extra housing?
Well, thank you. I think that all options on the table is where we're at still. I think to say that it's better than last year, you know, on the margins, I think that's missing the point. I think do we have facilities in place and a policy in place that allows us to treat people, meet them where they are, and to treat people first? I think there's a notion that housing first means treatment last. I think we need to change that. So whether it's low threshold housing or it's folks that are involved in the criminal justice system and going to a decentralized location like Nashua Street with support of mental health clinicians and Department of Mental Health, I think that we can't be totally adverse to using public facilities in different ways. Here's an example. Right now in Suffolk County, we have zero Section 35 beds to the comment that was made by the attorney just a minute ago. We have very few for women that are about to close because of Shattuck closing in Jamaica Plain. So in Suffolk County, where the biggest brunt of this is being felt, we don't have Section 35 beds. So the rest of the state takes that on. The court will send folks to Bristol County, to Worcester County, to Hampden County, in many cases. And that's that requires movement, which I think is troubling. I think we should be able to handle those services in Boston proper and Suffolk County. So that's something we don't really do right now.
So I'm just going to pause you there for just a second, Senator Collins, just to explain for listeners that Section 35 is an option, although I understand there's legal proceedings around it right now.
Yes.
That's similar to what we do on the mental health front, where you can put somebody into treatment, yes, if their addiction level is considered dangerous, and you can do that involuntarily.
Yes, this could be family members. It could be public health and safety professionals. If someone overdoses, the public health or safety professional can, and if they know this individual and this happened multiple times, can petition the court directly. Typically, family members do it. And it's a civil intervention. It's a civil commitment to treatment.
So I understand then, if I'm hearing you correctly, that while you recognize the whole range of services and supports that might be necessary, the balance in place right now, which is this heavy emphasis on housing first, and what I hear from you is a dissatisfaction with the level of treatment options, means things need to change. Is that correct?
Yes, I think we need to do treatment and housing first. And for some people, treatment is going to be in a facility because they're in such tough shape for the first 90 days. Quite frankly, in many cases, to 6 months, breaking bad habits, biting your nails, impossible to do within 30 days, never mind if you're heavily addicted, to change behaviors, and you need that support. Like I have a loved one who was had to be, thankfully, was in a facility for a number of months only to finally be discharged and back on a path. And that, without that sort of care up front, just a set of keys in an apartment where right now they're carrying weapons, they can all use any and all drugs. So where I am happy to hear that some folks are finding a pathway, that there's not much of that going on, that people are getting treatment and they're on a path to stability.
So do you also feel that there needs to be more support from the state, Senator Collins? And if so, where would you want to see that support?
Well, what I'd first like to see is a city to put forth a plan to spend the $5 million in post-treatment housing. We have people in treatment now who are staying out of trouble. They're on in programs, they're clean, they're in treatment, but aren't getting housing. So they're, you know, keeping them on the right path is should be a priority. That's why we put money forward. We'd like to see that as part of the equation, not without, you know, expansion of another program. So I'd like to see us use that funds. I'd like to reallocate funds towards that. I think we have models now, like Eileen's house in Dorchester, where if you have if you get into a treatment which starts at detox and then it could be inpatient or outpatient treatment with housing at a place that's got those programs in place already. But I think people need to be in a situation where when interventions are taking place, they're not being handed off. It's more of a seamless exercise. I'd like to see the state put some funds towards level four detoxes in Boston, particularly our medical facilities. I mean, it's unimaginable. We have all these medical facilities, but none of them have a detox facility, and they immediately discharge people.
All right,
so
state.
Whether it's our community hospitals, I think there are some ways that we can fund that, but really starting to spend the money on post-treatment housing, because I think that's going to be a part of our solution.
State Senator Nick Collins, 1st Suffolk District, thank you so much. And WBUR's Deborah Becker still with us. Last word back to you after hearing State Senator Collins there. Your thoughts.
Well, I do think, you know, there aren't a lot of Section 35 beds in Boston. The state has a 200-person facility in Plymouth for men that's in a former correctional facility. And I think that, and it is still run by the Department of Correction. So I think the advocates might say that more treatment beds might be needed that are run by medical professionals rather than correctional officials. And I think everyone would agree with Senator Collins that it's the aftercare that's critical. It's not just treatment. It's not 30 days. It's not even 90 days. It's making sure that folks have case management and wraparound services for long-term support and assistance to get them back on their feet again. And until there's a commitment to that, I think it's going to be tough to help manage this issue.
All right. WBUR's Deborah Becker, always fantastic reporting. I always learn when you're on. Thank you so much for joining us from
the
newsroom.
All right. Thank you.